Don't touch that dial. The Growing Boulder Radio Show is on the air, celebrating a revolution that will change your life. Here are your hosts, Bill Schaefer and Mark Middleton.
And we have a suite in the Hotel California for you now, folks, because our next guest was a member of one of the greatest rock bands of all time. In fact, their greatest hits album is the top-selling album in the history of recorded music.
And, you know, everybody knows about the band, but something very bizarre has happened that just doesn't fit. It doesn't sound right, because in 2001, our next guest was fired from his own band. I don't get that. And that's what led to his book called Heaven and Hell, My Life in the Eagles. Let's find out from Don Felder what's going on. Hey, Don, how you doing?
Hey, Mark. Hey, Bill. How are you doing? How are you?
We're great. Thank you.
What are you up to today, man? What's going on with you?
Oh, not much. I've been doing a bunch of corporate shows. I got a band of my own trying to promote this book, about halfway through a CD, trying to play some golf for charity, and other than that, not much is going on.
What kind of tunes you playing, Don?
It depends. In my corporate show, I do some Eagles stuff. I do some stuff off my solo record. I do some covers. It's just a big party for about an hour and a half. And on my CD that I'm writing now, it's kind of all over the map right now.
Good. Looking forward to that.
Uh-huh.
Before we get into your book and the controversy a little bit, we played Hotel California on our rejoinder here, if you will. And one of your most visible contributions to the group was that song, the biggest hit the band ever had, and that is saying something, and you're the guy who wrote it. Is it true that Don Henley and Glenn Frey didn't even like the song when they first heard it?
I don't know if I'd go that far. I had made a basic cassette or a basic track and put it on cassette of all the music, and there were about 15 or 16 other pieces of music on it we were writing for that album, which was later entitled Hotel California. And I gave everybody in the band copies of the cassettes, and Don Henley really kind of attached himself to that. I think he called it Mexican reggae, Mexican bolero or something. It was sort of a working title at the time. And then we decided we would cut a basic track on it and try to write some lyrics to it. So, you know, I think Don really latched on to it, maybe more so than Glenn.
Hey, Don, you grew up in Gainesville, Florida?
I did, yeah.
Now, isn't that the coolest place in the world? I mean, Tom Petty's from there, the Allman Brothers, I think Stephen Stills, too. Did you know any of those guys growing up?
I knew all of those guys growing up.
Oh, wow.
And I were in a band when we were about 14 or 15, I think, and little skinny buck teeth. Scraggly haired Tommy Petty used to come in and take guitar lessons. Now that I think about it, he still kind of looks like that.
he took guitar lessons from you.
I'm sorry, what?
He took guitar lessons from you.
Yeah, I taught him guitar. He was actually playing bass at the time in this little band called the Rucker Brothers Band. And so he wanted to develop his guitar skills, so I taught him guitar. And then the Allman Brothers' mother used to live in Daytona Beach, so they were over there all during the summers working the strip joints on the beach like we were when all the fraternities were out at the university. We'd go over and work there in the summer, so we became friends over there. I think we were in even a couple of battles of the band together, which my band lost. They always won, so.
Man.
But my first experience of watching anybody play slide guitar was with Dwayne in his mom's house in Daytona.
You know, I think all high school bands have visions of grandeur, or you wouldn't be doing it. Did any of you have any idea what the future would hold for all of you?
No, not really. And, you know, literally until the very end of 1999, we were getting together to do a Millennium concert show. And at the time, we were called together a big press conference, and the RIAA had presented us that award for the largest selling album of the 20th century, and nobody really had been keeping track of how many records we had sold or what was going on, and it just hit me in the forehead like a Louisville slugger, the magnitude of what we had done.
All right, Don, let's go ahead and dive into what's going on now, speaking of getting hit in the head by a ball bat, because I think I think maybe I'm about to think a little bit less of one of my favorite bands. How do you end up getting kicked out of your own band?
Well, you know, I think there was always a lot of difficulty in over creative discussions.
But see, Don, I get that with bands that are like one-hit wonders, or they're really struggling to find the next, uh-huh. You know, the next piece or the next bit of direction. But this band's made millions and millions. What are they fighting over? You know, little bits for? Isn't it a group?
Yeah, well, it was when we first started in the 70s. It was sort of all for one and one for all, and everybody put their shoulder into it as a team and whatever it took to make the best record, the best tour, to make the band the best it could be, the best songs, everything. was what we all kind of gave ourselves to. And the larger the money numbers became, the less friendships and the more, I guess, stockholder, shareholder, associates everyone became. And the greed, power, and control element, just because you're in a rock band, you're not exempt from those particular human traits. So it was interesting to watch all that take place.
And that, of course, was in 2001, and now 7 years later, your book, Heaven and Hell, is finally published. We should say 7 years and several lawsuits later. Yeah. This is a book that Don Henley and Glenn Frey did not want published, did they?
I don't know. You'll have to ask them that. I never had any conversations directly with them about their feelings about the book or not about the book. So I know it just took a lot of legal maneuvering to be able to finally get it published.
You need to walk around with a guard? I mean, do you worry about retribution from these guys?
Well, I always worry about retribution from them, but not necessarily from just this book.
And do you know, Mark, I don't know if you remember this, but on their final concert, I think it was the early 80s or whatever, when they had their last show, the whole time...
You mean the Farewell Tour
Three. When you guys were going at it on stage, you know, talking about what you're going to do to each other, and then after the show, you tried to get at it, you and Glenn Frey.
Well, we never really tried to get at it. Really, what, as I recall, which is pretty clearly stated in the book, that was pretty much a total misunderstanding that we were doing a political benefit for a guy named Alan Cranston, who was a senator, I think, from California, who later turned out to be convicted of all sorts of illegal activities to do with the SNL scandal. And I never particularly enjoyed doing political benefits. I don't mind doing benefits for anybody with autism or cystic fibrosis or heart problems or cancer or kids, anything. But I'm never really a big fan of doing political fundraisers. And they were. And honestly, in the 70s, I was quite politically illiterate. So I was introduced to Mrs. Cranston, and she said, oh, it's nice to meet you. I said, it's nice to meet you. And she turned around and walked away, and I leaned over to my wife and said, kind of under my breath, I said, well, I guess.
Oh, boy.
And she heard that over her shoulder and turned around and saw me, looked back at me, and Glenn watched that whole thing and got just really incensed about me showing such little respect to this person. I honestly had no idea who she was. So he took me backstage into a dressing room and started just reaming me out. And so finally I just said, hey, you know, you're acting like an a**. I don't particularly deserve that kind of treatment. And I apologized for what I had done, but he just couldn't let it go. And we went on stage and continued to fuel the flames to the fire. So very close to the end of the night, I told one of my roadies, I said, get that old Japanese 12-string and put it by the back door, and I'm going to blow it up. So I let everybody walk off the stage, and, you know, I waited a couple of beats, and then I walked up behind him and grabbed that 12-string and smashed it into this big cement column by the back door of the Long Beach Arena. And when I turned around, there was standing Glenn and Alan Cranston and Don Henley watching me smash this guitar, and I thought they had already left the building.
It is only rock and roll, but we love it. Don Felder's book is Heaven and Hell, My Life in the Eagles, folks. More stories like that inside the pages.
In all the world, there's only one. This is the Growing Boulder Radio Show. Don't touch that dial. The Growing Boulder Radio Show is on the air, celebrating a revolution that will change your life. Here are your hosts, Bill Schaefer and Mark Middleton.
And we have a suite in the Hotel California for you now, folks, because our next guest was a member of one of the greatest